My friends, I am compelled to address some issues this evening. The contemplation of the decline of Judah or Jerusalem provokes me to contemplate our country and the times in which we live. And the reason why we were created to be alive now, and how we can help the situation. I will say everything I am about to say just to challenge you to act and not to feel helpless. We listened to the first reading about Jehoiakim, who was king just before Zedekiah, the end of the Davidic line or dynasty, and the sack of Jerusalem and Judah. About a century before this, the northern kingdom had already been decimated. Samaria and 10 tribes were gone and resettled by strangers. That is why you talk about the lost tribes in Israel. You could only be sure of one tribe. In fact, the religion of Israel came to be known as Judaism because it was only the tribe of Judah you could be sure of that were true Israelites. Our nation is tied to Israel at the hip. The circumstance of the formation of this nation is about the very same reason God gave the land of Canaan to Abraham, faith. This land was given to our fathers not because of any reason, but they wanted a place to worship in freedom. The land had been given to the Indians for thousands of years. And just on account of faith, that faith that was supposed to bring light even to the Indians and to every other nation that was invited here, our fathers were given this land. It had to be. It had to be that way. That was the plan of heaven. It was faith that brought our fathers here, not fortune, faith and freedom. And those values seriously questioned today. So the nation is not founded on a firm foundation anymore. And that is why we are fighting ourselves now. We don't have no army putting our nation to siege. No, we're fighting inside and we're not even sure what we're supposed to do. There is no agreement among our leaders about what is right. Every governor expects us to listen to whatever they prescribe, but many governors will not listen to the president in turn. So we have some kind of disunity, the highest level of the nation. It has never happened like this in a long, long time. And so I begin to wonder what our fate is. A few years after Jehoiakim was taken into Babylon, there was warning, prophet after prophet, Jeremiah, Isaiah, calling the nation to repentance, to repentance, to repentance. The kings would not listen. Jehoiakim was just 18 years old. Within a few months, he followed the example of his fathers and did what was despicable in the sight of God. And when that is said, it means he was not faithful to the God of Israel. He was worshiping all other kinds of gods. When Israel sins, it is always lack of faith in God. It wasn't anything else. It was always in relation to fidelity. The Lord your God is the one Yahweh. You must worship him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything that you have. So when you begin to worship something else, that was the first offense of any leader. The nation was founded on faith in God. The nation had to stand because the land was given by God. Our nation is defined in the same way. In God we trust. We call it God's own country. There is a reason for all those slogans. It is not just happenstance. But can we say as a people, we are God's country today? It is a principle, but is it true? There are three things practiced in our nation that is offensive to God today. I don't think we could get any worse. And I'm speaking in very general terms. I am not condemning or judging anyone. I'm laying down the facts. First, is human sacrifice. There is no kingdom that was founded on the killing of human beings that ever survived. We have had how many years of abortion? It is only in the last few years that we are not responsible for paying for the abortion industry in this country because of President Trump. But every Christian president from the 70s till now did not stop that carnage. Whether they were Christian or not Christian, I don't care. I did not even know the president could stop it by an executive order. But he stopped using taxpayers' money to fund Planned Parenthood just by one sweep. Human sacrifice honors the devil. So whether we know it or not, as a people, we have been worshiping the devil, whether we like it or not. I grew up in Africa where there was human sacrifice. I can tell you it was the height of paganism. We do it openly. I'm not saying as a people. The outrage is not as strong as it is supposed to be. So somehow we've been doing it. So everyone linked to that industry is going to punch President Trump in the face. The second sin that is odious in the sight of God is homosexuality. We know from scripture that Sodom and Gomorrah was completely leveled on account of that sin. But today we are taught that we should tolerate it. We should be nice and pastoral, and we should be, you know, accommodate this and be nice. Otherwise, you're hating people. But God is completely taken out of the equation. Completely. We don't even ask his opinion. I can tell you the truth, my friends. I owe that to you. The last sin is transgenderism. You know, the book of Genesis says that we were created in God's image and likeness, and that defines us as male and female. So when a kid is born female, and then she wants to change herself into male, that fellow is almost doing what the devil said. I will not serve under your dispensation. I will not follow your rules and your laws. I'll make mine. I'll define myself. I want to be a man. I can be a man today, woman tomorrow, and do whatever I want. Now, you do not see how that relates to the devil. You do not see it, but I see it. And that has just come up in the last, maybe in the 60s. It wasn't really glaring, but today, it is everywhere. There may be many others, but I'm pointing to the three and the greatest. It couldn't get any worse. But those three sins cry out to heaven for justice every day. It is the reason for the confusion today. You may not see it. It is the key that hell can use to open its way into the country and destabilize it like it is happening now. And we feel totally helpless. Many blame God for it. We do not see the systematic decline that has begun in the 60s, up to now. And that is why we must be determined as a people to seek the truth, to get behind whatever is happening, not just look at appearances. Go to the truth. It is also our country. It belongs to all of us. And you know what? We can change it by prayer and fasting. We can change the situation. We can send hell back to hell. We are not powerless. If we have believed anything the Holy Book teaches us and what the church has taught us for years. In the last few months, we're very forgetful. A lot of people are iffy. Should we go to church? Will we not go to church? Will we die? Will we not die? We are completely distracted from the point. We're distracted to worry about preserving ourselves, and we refuse to pray and to go to Mass. The very thing the devil wants us not to do is not to have the Eucharist. Because every Mass crushes hell completely. When we don't go out of fear, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, all the demons are stronger and they're parading everywhere, causing mayhem. People want to protest, they begin to fight and to steal and to kill and to pull down statues, they'll pull down anything. Just like the Roman soldiers were egged on by demons to punish Jesus, they thought he was just a righteous man, so he would come down from the cross and not save us. They'll begin normally wanting to protest, and then it gets violent. It gets very violent. Things begin to suggest to them, do this, pull that down, tear it, no one is going to do anything, burn this, burn that. And that is how demons work. They turn people into monsters. They don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. So I'm crying to you for prayers and for fasting. This is our business. It doesn't belong to the president alone or to the governor. It is our collective responsibility. Listen to what Jesus says in the gospel. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. So everyone who does the will of God is standing already in victory over the present situation, doing what is right in every respect. Everyone who does the will, not just those who say it, not even those who just come to church, but those who believe it from here, from the hearts, then you do God's will. Lord, we prophesied in your name. You can prophesy, but you are far away from him. We drove out demons in your name. We did mighty deeds. You can do anything. You have to be convinced about Christ and where you stand. It is not just what you do, but why. The conviction behind your action. So it must be, you must think it, you must believe it, then you must act it. That is the full picture. Anyone can say anything. Anyone can do anything just for show. But not everyone can be convinced about every aspect of our faith. That is what we need today, my friends. Conviction, conviction. If we can all have it, and then we pray for our nation, ask God for help. He will hear us. He loves us. He gave the country to us, not to destroy it, not even to allow men to destroy it, but we must recognize what is happening and fight spiritually. There's no need to do anything physically except be convinced about your faith and live it every day, calling upon God every hour, every minute. Every second, crying for help. Now, everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them, first you listen, you believe, and then you act, will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. What has happened is to systematically make people not think about our history, not think about the great men of faith who defined our nation, who set everything up for us. We've gone so far away from what the founding fathers said. We don't even think about it because the innovators have come in and tell us, think this, and do that. What you really need to look for today in our leaders is who truly loves the nation, not who is working for money. Who truly loves the nation? There are very few. If you look long and hard, you will see the truth. Don't let yourselves be misled. Yes, we have a country. We still have a country, thank God. But the sooner we realize we have to work to protect it, the better for us. We can win by standing on the side of Christ with conviction. So whatever is left of her, we need to say, I think that is why we're here. That is why we have to ask everyone, even those who don't come to church, to pray the rosary, for instance. One for yourself every day, one for the nation. Not just one. Pray two or three or four. The times are really crucial. If the devil takes one step, we should take 20. That is how to win. Not to hide at home and cry a river. If there was, I like to refer to the history of the Second World War because of how the nation united when there was a common enemy. That enemy wasn't our enemy, but the enemy was destroying all of Europe, threatening us too when we were hit at Pearl Harbor. Supposing there was an enemy out at the border wanting to fight us, wouldn't we all go to war? Tell me, wouldn't you do something about it? But we're in the same situation. Why don't you pick up your weapons, your spiritual weapons? Let's fight. Think about it. Let us pray.